We are in Mark chapter 4. You can make your way there. Verses 1 to 20 will be our text this morning. We're going to be looking at a parable. Now, you've heard of parables, right? You've heard of them all the time. A parable, parables, the Greek word, para means alongside. And so, for instance, in the Gospel of John, we find that the Holy Spirit is our paraclete. He is the one who comes alongside of us to bring comfort. That's the word comfort, paraclete. And in this word, parabole, is the word to para, which means alongside, and bale, which means to throw or put. So literally, it means to put something alongside of something else. And Jesus used parables to teach. You should know that he used them for clarity and for confusion. Interesting. Let me give you a parable so you know what I'm talking about. Nathan was the prophet in the Old Testament. David was king. David had committed a pretty bad sin with Bathsheba, and he had also then worse sent Uriah to be killed in the war. Nathan comes to David, and he comes up to him, and he says, David, I need to tell you a story. And so David's listening, and he says, there was a wealthy man who had many sheep. And a stranger came to his house and needed some hospitality, but he was unwilling to take from his sheep and give it to the stranger. And so there was a poor neighbor who had one ewe lamb. He loved that lamb. And then the wealthy man took the poor lamb and gave it to the stranger. And the scripture says in that moment, it says that the anger of David burned against him. And he said, that man should die. And then he thought about it for a minute and he said, he should pay back fourfold, which is what the Old Testament says you should do for stealing sheep. And then that's the parable. And then Nathan said the important word. Do you know what he said? You are the man. Do you catch it? So you see, the parable is the story that comes alongside. And if he stopped and didn't explain this to David, David might have thought, man, I am so ticked off of those nasty sheep people. But when he said, you're the man, he explained to him the parable so that he understood it was him. Parables Jesus uses for both clarity and confusion. As a matter of fact, that's where we pick it up. Last week, we talked about the unforgivable sin. Now, I just want to kind of clarify some things. If you die and you have not put your trust in Christ, and by that I mean you've not repented and been forgiven of your sins, if you die in that condition, it's like you committed the unpardonable sin because there's no pardon from there on. And so in eternity, it's too late. But the unpardonable sin was a sin that took place among the Jewish people as Jesus came. And it took place because they had the prophets, they had the scriptures, then they had the prophets telling them about the scriptures. They taught about the Messiah. They told all the things are going to happen. And as Jesus comes and lines up with all those things, they even had the Holy Spirit who testified by miracles and wonders through Jesus that this was the Messiah. And they rejected him. And Jesus said that that's the unpardonable sin. As a matter of fact, from then on, he teaches them in parables. More specifically, what he did was he had finished pleading with them. Let me have you read chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 with me. And I just want to show you what he says. This is where the disciples have asked him to explain the parable. Verse 11, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. I don't know whether you're catching that. Even in the midst of this reference to the unpardonable sin, there's this little glimmer of grace. Did you see it? He says, listen, from here on, I'm done. I am not going to reason with the Jewish leaders. I am not going to reason. I'm not going to pursue the scribes and the Pharisees anymore. That's what he's saying. Lest they see and perceive and hear and understand and turn and are forgiven. So he is done pursuing them. Now, I don't know how many of them at that moment had crossed a line that they couldn't come back from. What I do know is that throughout the next things that take place, there are still some Jewish men, scribes and Pharisees, who sneak over to Jesus and are forgiven. It's just this interesting little picture of grace although he's done pursuing them. We don't sing about that much, do we? We don't have a song called...
Thank you. Thank you.